Crusade Channel News. News you can trust because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Good afternoon, Crusaders. This is Celeste Youngblood coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau with your headlines at this hour on this Friday, January 12, 2018. Three Chilean churches have been attacked in advance of Pope Francis's visit. Then I'll have your stock market report and Saint of the Day. President Trump denies the words attributed to him in immigration negotiations yesterday, and a Baltimore hospital left a discharged patient out in the freezing cold in her hospital gown at a bus stop. Avetia is reporting that three churches in Chile have been attacked in anticipation of Pope Francis's visit to the nation. The arson attacks took place at the Temple of St. Elizabeth of Hungary at Central Station, the Emmanuel Chapel in Recoleta, and the Cristo Vendedor Chapel in Peñalolén. At two of the three churches, pamphlets were found proclaiming this screed, quote, "We will never submit to the power they want to exercise over our bodies, our ideas, and actions, because we were born free to decide the path we want to take, against all religious and preachers, free, impure, and wild bodies. We attack with the fire of combat to explode its disgusting morality." It ended with the threat, quote, "Pope Francisco, the next bombs will be in your cassock." Undersecretary of the Interior Mahmoud Alioui has announced that there will be an investigation into what happened, and speaking on Radio Oasis about the identity of the perpetrators, President Michelle Bachelet said, quote, "We know that it could always be one group or another, but as I say, this attack last night is very strange because it is not something that one can identify as coming from a specific group. It's called something like Buy Free Bodies or something like that." Let us pray for the safety of the Holy Father on his trip. And now it's time for your business and market report. Walmart announced yesterday that they are raising wages and laying off employees. Reuters reports.
For employees at Walmart Thursday, some good news and some bad news. The good news, America's largest employer announced it was giving its workers a raise. The bad news, on Thursday, the company also announced it would be shuttering multiple Sam's Club discount stores and laying off thousands of workers. Starting in February, entry-level employees at Walmart will earn a minimum of $11 an hour. Others may get cash bonuses of up to $1,000, and the company also announced expanded maternity and paternal leave benefits. Walmart says the staff payouts, which the company says will benefit over a million employees, are the result of the recent U.S. tax overhaul, as the company is expected to see massive savings. And the president wasted no time in taking credit for the raises. But there's more at work here. Reuters retail correspondent Nandita Bose.
They're saying they want to give, what they're getting back to their employees. Now, there's another side to the story, which is, you know, how tough the labor market is, right? So Walmart was at $10 an hour. Target, on the other hand, announced that they're going up to 11 just a couple of months ago. So Walmart has to stay competitive. So they had to do it. The tax bill made it easier.
But Walmart overshadowed its good news almost immediately. According to local media in multiple states, some Sam's Club stores closed abruptly on Thursday, with employees learning of the move as they arrived for work. On Twitter, Sam's Club wrote, quote, "Closing clubs is never easy, and we're committed to working with impacted members and associates through this transition."
Early in his presidency, President Trump proudly touted his victory in getting Indianapolis's Carrier Corporation to keep their jobs in the United States as opposed to relocating to Mexico. Sadly, despite the deal that was made, over 200 workers worked their last shift at Carrier yesterday. Again, courtesy of Reuters.
It was touted as an early victory for newly elected President Trump and his America First agenda.
Exciting. Very exciting. Over 1,100 jobs, it turns out.
A December 2016 media-frenzied tour at a United Technologies Carrier plant in Indianapolis to announce over 1,000 U.S. jobs were not getting shipped to Mexico. But on Thursday, just over a year later, 215 workers at that same plant will clock out for the last time. Their jobs are going south of the border, where Mexican workers will do the same work for just $3 an hour. Reuters correspondent Amanda Becker has been speaking to laid-off employees.
So one worker told me it was like the world was watching. Another one used the word a prop, that they felt like they'd been used as a prop during that tour. They did, you know, have higher expectations, many of the workers I spoke to, for what they would get out of this deal and how they would benefit from it.
Thursday's layoffs brings the total number of job cuts at this carrier plant to more than 500, about half the number of jobs Trump promised to rescue.
I felt angry and I feel forgotten.
But the problem is he didn't deliver.
Turns out some of the so-called saved jobs were not in jeopardy in the first place. Union leaders tell Reuters they later learned 300 non-factory positions were lumped into Trump's announcement. That's not the only thing leaving floor workers feeling betrayed by a president who bragged the exodus of American jobs would stop on his watch.
2 hours away, north of Indianapolis in Huntington, Indiana, another facility that was owned by United Technologies Corp. Is closing this year, and that's going to result in about 700 jobs going to Mexico.
United Technologies received $7 million in state tax breaks as part of the Trump deal and agreed to pour millions more into upgrading the facility. But that won't help laid-off workers get their jobs back. That money is being spent specifically on automation.
The euro climbed to a three-year high today upon word that German Chancellor Angela Merkel reached a breakthrough in coalition talks with rival Social Democrats. Reuters' David Pollard has more.
All-night talks may just have ended in a new dawn for German politics, party leaders announcing a breakthrough in coalition negotiations. There's no new government yet, but after months of uncertainty, even the prospect of one was enough to help the euro to a three-year high, rallying 0.7% against the dollar.
It will come. It will take some time, but it will come, because it has to politically. Otherwise, there would be new elections, and none of the partners at the negotiating table want that.
On a two-day basis, the single currencies jumped 1.4%, already riding high after Thursday's ECB minutes. Traders detect new hints of hawkishness and see the possibility of 2.5 trillion euros of QE bond purchases being reined in earlier than previously thought.
They probably will tweak their guidance. It's a very difficult situation for all central banks now. They have to hand over to corporate earnings by slowly reducing all their stimulus without causing an upset in the market. So it's a very fine balancing act. But the ECB are very good at transmitting their views.
Both sets of news also pushed German 10-year yields to fresh five-month highs. Losses from a bond market sell-off, stocks gain. MSCI's broadest gauge hitting yet another record high, on track to an eighth rise out of nine business days so far this year, with the first of 2018's earnings seasons already looming.
I'm very positive on corporate earnings all over the world, in Europe and in America, in the UK and in Asia as well. So, yes, we're in a good situation at the moment.
The optimism boosted in Europe by news of deal-making, but amid some pessimism over the possibility that a stronger currency could weigh on Eurozone prospects longer term.
Now let's check in with the stock market's performance today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average in late morning trading was up 203 points at 25,778. The NASDAQ was up 41 points at 7,253. The S&P 500 was up 14 points at 2,781. Crude oil was down 12 cents at $63.68 a barrel. In the world markets, the Japanese Nikkei closed down 56 points and the Hong Kong Hang Seng closed up 295. The London FTSE 100 closed up 16 and the DAX in Germany closed up 29. Today's quote of the day comes from St. Vincent de Paul. We should strive to keep our hearts open to the sufferings and wretchedness of other people and pray continually that God may grant us that spirit of compassion, which is truly the spirit of God. Coming up next after the break in Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor Saint Marguerite Bourgeois. You're listening to Crusade News.
Hey folks, when I was a kid, being called a bookworm was an insult of the highest order. Today, people want to be called bookworm to solve the world's political problems. At the Founders Trading Post, we have the books you need to help solve the world's problems and save your soul, too. From Humility of Heart to Patrick Henry, American Statesman, get started on your bookworm bona fides today by browsing to mikechurch.com/books. Most of our books are also signed by the authors. Shop like a Jeopardy champion today at mikechurch.com/books or call 844-5-CRUSADE.
Born in 1620 in the Champagne region of France in the city of Troyes, Marguerite Bourgeois was the sixth of 12 children to a socially connected middle-class family. By the time she was 20, she had lost both of her parents. She joined the confraternity of the canonesses regular of the Congregation of Notre Dame, whose mission was to educate the poor. Whereas the canonesses helped the poor, they were cloistered and could not leave the convent, so they relied on the confraternity members, like Marguerite, to teach the poor. In 1653, Marguerite would leave France and sail to Quebec aboard the St. Nicholas. There, she lived with the poor and served the community, although there was nobody to teach for quite some time due to the high rates of infant mortality. Marguerite Bourgeois and four companions founded the Congregation of Notre Dame, which cared for orphan women sent by the king to start families in the New World. They also made the education of poor girls a priority. She had to fight hard to prevent enclosure from being forced upon their order. It is said that Marguerite offered her life in exchange for the healing of one of the sisters who was ill at the time. The sister was healed, and Marguerite fell very ill and succumbed in 1700 at the age of 79. She was the first canonized female Canadian saint. Saint Marguerite Bourgeois, pray for us. The dust is still settling after President Trump's supposed remarks about shithole countries. Recapping the story from this morning, in a meeting yesterday with bipartisan members of Congress focused on the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program instituted by President Obama, a program the president has sought to terminate, President Trump is alleged to have asked why the United States would accept more immigrants from asshole countries like Haiti than countries like Norway. There were no denials of the president's supposed language yesterday evening, and instead White House spokesman Raj Shah said, quote, "Certain Washington politicians choose to fight for foreign countries, but President Trump will always fight for the American people." This morning, President Trump issued a tweet, turning this saga into a he said, they said event. The tweet read, quote, "The language used by me at the DACA meeting was tough, but this was not the language used. What was really tough was the outlandish proposal made, a big setback for DACA." An hour later, President Trump tweeted again, quote, "Never said anything derogatory about Haitians other than Haiti is, obviously, a very poor and troubled country. Never said, take them out. Made up by Dems. I have a wonderful relationship with Haitians. Probably should record future meetings. Unfortunately, no trust." NBC News reports that in response to President Trump's denial of using such language, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin held a press conference in which he said that he personally heard the president repeatedly refer to African countries, as he was alleged in the meeting, and multiple times.
As Senator Graham made his presentation, the president interrupted him several times with questions, and in the course of his comment, said things which were hate-filled, vile, and racist. He used those words advisedly. I understand how powerful they are, but I cannot believe that in the history of the White House, in that Oval Office, any president has ever spoken the words that I personally heard our president speak yesterday. You've seen the comments in the press. I have not read one of them that's inaccurate. To no surprise, the president started tweeting this morning denying that he used those words. It is not true. He said these hate-filled things, and he said them repeatedly. When the question was raised about Haitians, for example, we have a group that have temporary protected status in the United States because they were the victims of crises and disasters and political upheaval. The largest group's El Salvador, and the second is Honduran, and the third is Haitian. And when I mentioned that fact to him, he said, Haitians, do we need more Haitians? And then he went on, when we started to describe the immigration from Africa that was being protected in this bipartisan measure, that's when he used these vile and vulgar comments, calling the nations they come from holes. The exact word used by the president, not just once, but repeatedly. That was the nature of this conversation. When it came to the issue of, quote, chain migration, I said to the president, do you realize how painful that term is to so many people? African Americans believe that they migrated to America in chains. And when you speak about chain migration, it hurts them personally. And he said, oh, that's a good line. And then when I talked to him about the impact this has on family unification in a nation that values families with the flag as the most important symbols of our future, they scoffed at this notion. It was a heartbreaking moment. But I will tell you this, I'm not going to quit. I have a singular mission, and the mission is this, to give these dreamers and as many members of their families as possible a chance to be part of America's future in a legal status. I am convinced that there's a majority in both the House and the Senate of Democrats and Republicans who support that concept.
The New York Times reports that the University of Maryland Medical Center in Baltimore on Tuesday night released a mentally ill patient into the freezing night air in her hospital gown and socks and left her at a bus stop. A passerby, Imamu Baraka, noticed the woman shortly after midnight and, realizing what was going on, began to try to seek help for her and posted videos on Facebook. He confronted security at the hospital.
Wait, so y'all just gonna leave this lady out here with no clothes on? That is not okay.
Due to the circumstances of what it was.
Then you all need to call the police. So I'm assuming that you all are with the security department? Okay. Oh, so you all are okay with leaving that woman out there like that?
It's like, you've got to be kidding me. Are you freaking kidding me?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm at a local hospital where individuals have left a patient half naked on the city streets, and it's about 30 degrees out here right now.
Are you okay? Huh? You okay, ma'am? Do you need me to call the police? Why don't you go and sit down, ma'am? You don't look well. Come and sit down.
They discarded this human being like she was trash. And with no regard to what was going to happen next.
Ma'am, come and sit down. Ma'am, won't you come and sit down? This is disgusting that they would just leave her unattended on a bus stop.
Eventually, Mr. Baraka made a phone call to emergency responders and an ambulance arrived to bring the woman back to the hospital. Courtesy of the Associated Press, University of Maryland Medical Center President and CEO Dr. Mohan Sunta.
We take full responsibility for this failure. And we are examining our policies and our procedures to ensure that this type of event does not happen again. Again, we firmly believe that what occurred Tuesday night is not representative of who we are or how we care for our community.
If you have a Facebook account, you might notice that your news feed has changed. ABC News reports.
To a major announcement from Facebook. If you didn't notice, they overhauled your news feed overnight. They're trying to enhance your connections with family and friends. And our chief business and technology correspondent, Rebecca Jarvis, is here. Rebecca, billions of users are being affected by these changes. What is Facebook actually trying to do?
And it's happening right now, Michael. So Facebook is going old school. They are going back to their roots. It is Flashback Friday, but Flashback Friday 24/7 now, because they want you to see your friends and family in your feed. So they're focusing commenting on the baby pictures, the puppy pics, the post about your major life events, and they're pushing aside some of that content that we spend more time passively scrolling through in the feed, like articles and viral videos from businesses and brands, Michael.
So trying to condense everything to make it more interesting for
and
what
more
you're
personal,
focused on.
More personal to people.
But why are they doing this now?
Well, Facebook has reached and faced a lot of criticism recently around what they're doing, around what consuming Facebook does to us as people. And they've been making these changes, and Mark Zuckerberg, the founder and CEO of Facebook, even talked about this early in the year, saying we need to be better for society and we need to think about how we're doing things in society. They believe, based on their research, that interacting with your friends and family and having these personal interactions on Facebook can actually be good for your health. Good for your health.
Good for your health, Facebook.
But we're
not talking about what could happen. These things are already happening, though.
They are in process right now, Michael. So people who are waking up this morning, we looked at a number of our Facebook feeds. You're going to see more of that personalized content, the stuff like your friends and family, mm-hmm. the baby pictures. You're going to see more of that right away. But it's also something that will be a work in progress over time.
It still throws me off to see my mom on Facebook. And my friends are like, your mom commented to me on Facebook. I'm like, this mom, stop.
I love that.
I don't.
In this Celestial Musings, if you can bear a little more on immigration, The Washington Post reports that a federal judge from California issued an injunction Tuesday preventing DACA protections from being removed while a legal challenge against the ending of DACA proceeds. Now, I have a question, and if you have an answer, send it to me at news@veritasradionetwork.com. Here's my question. DACA was announced by President Barack Obama and was, according to Wikipedia, quote, officially established by a memorandum from the Secretary of Homeland Security. DACA is a memo by the executive branch that was put into effect. If it was generated by the authority of the executive branch and put into effect by a memo from the executive branch, how does the executive branch not have the authority to cancel its own memo? Does the executive branch's authority only extend to those things the judiciary likes? If I'm missing something, please fill me in. Send me your news tips at news@veritasradionetwork.com. For more news headlines, follow me at my Twitter handle, @CrusadeNewscast. Stay tuned to the Veritas Radio Network for king-size truth from radio-sized speakers. Coming up next, The True Money Show. Celeste Youngblood signing off for the Crusade Channel. Serving you, serving truth.
You've just heard Crusade Channel News, live on your News Talk and Saints leader, the Crusade Channel. And did you know that all newscasts are available as podcasts on crusadechannel.com and on our free app available in the Google Play and iTunes stores? Surprised?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted.